Thank you for all the nice room, good meals, amen, fellowship. We've enjoyed it, enjoyed it, enjoyed it. Amen. We'll stay another week if y'all will pay us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I really battled today about what I was supposed to preach. I guess only a preacher would understand that. Amen. I know sometimes that may makes the pastor not feel good. Amen. They don't have liberty. But I just got so, I really got so much to preach. Sometimes my problem is I don't know what to preach, but I had a whole lot to preach. So I hope I got the right message tonight. I feel like I settled on this. I got others I'd rather preach. But anyway, I want you to turn your Bible tonight to the book of Genesis, if you would. And if you're physically able, we'll stand. I'm reading several places in Genesis. Be pretty evident from my reading tonight where we're preaching on or who we're preaching on. But this is what the Lord, and I have a reason for preaching on this tonight that I'll share with you in the introduction. Amen. But I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 13, if you would. Genesis chapter 13. Again, thank y'all. It's a joy, joy to be here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Got to eat supper with Brother Stennett Blue, and they're preaching across town. And we've prayed for that meeting as well. Amen. What a great, just an honor to get to eat lunch or supper with Brother Stennett Blue. What a great man of God he is. Amen. Been used so greatly for the Lord. And a great honor to eat with him and your pastor and his wife tonight. I count that such a great, great honor. Amen. All right, Genesis 13. Let's look in verse 11. I apologize for my sounding like I'm congested. I've had this now for, my wife probably has to tell me, amen, but I've had this condition now for even the beginning of the year, and I cannot get rid of it. They tell me I've got an echo virus. Is that what they call it? Whatever that is, amen. It sounds like it echoes. Was that why they named it that? You don't know? I just come up with that right in the pulpit. I was inspired, amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I know it's very annoying to listen to, and I apologize for that, amen. But maybe I can get me on once I start preaching. Verse 11, chapter 13, verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves, the one from the other. If you turn to chapter 14 with me, please. Chapter 14 and verse number 10. And the Bible said, the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And then in chapter 19, verse number 12, the Bible said, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides sons-in-laws, thy sons, thy daughter-in-laws, and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. And then I'm just going to read this short verse to you over in Luke chapter 17. You don't have to turn there. Verse 32, the Bible in the New Testament references this. Remember Lot's wife. Let's pray. Father, I pray now, Lord, you'd help me tonight. Lord, again, I'm not here to be an entertainer, a performer. But God, I feel like, Lord, the best I've been able to determine today, you laid this on my heart. I know there's some reasons for that. And Lord, please help me tonight to deliver the message in power and authority and anointing that I don't have unless you do that for me. And Lord, I sure need that, God. They don't want to just hear, Lord, a man. But God, I pray to be unctioned by the Holy Ghost. And Lord, you'd speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, warn us from the teachings of Lot about our Christian life. Help us now is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I guess tonight I'm preaching on this because, and I don't go off because I'm the pastor of Life Baptist Church and really try to talk about our men's home a lot. I don't feel like that's what I'm called to do. Amen. We have men in our church that do that. But I was thinking over this today and studying about what to preach. And I look back over now, I think it's about 7, 8 years, we started the men's home, which we appreciate all that y'all have done, above and beyond what y'all have done for us. But we have had over 90, possibly 100 men in our home. 100 men have come through our home. Now, I said that to say this. Some of those men were preachers. We've had men in our home that were serving God, living for God, pastoring churches, evangelists in our home, missionaries in our home, pastor's kids in our home, and we've only been in operation about 7-8 years, and 100 men. And out of those 100 men, none of them were preachers. Matter of fact, we had a preacher in our home, I would not dare call his name, amen, that was ahead, one of the leading men in a ministry that is well known. He came to our home to get help. His family busted up. He got on alcohol. He got on all the lifestyle that goes with that. And he came to our home. We had a missionary come to our home that we support. Had a work in Africa. He was a missionary there doing a great work in Africa. And got messed up, amen, and came to our home. Matter of fact, this is the truth, Pastor. He was in our home on a Sunday morning, I think. Got to us sometime. Must have been a Thursday or Friday because he wasn't in the Wednesday night. And when our people walked in, they said, "Brother, we're glad to have you. The preacher didn't tell us you was coming. We're so glad to have you with us today." Because the preacher, well, they didn't know he didn't come to present his work or share his work. He came because he was in the home. A missionary that we supported did a great work, had an orphanage for hundreds of kids in Africa. And now here he is sitting on the front row in the men's home because his life got messed up. What are you trying to say, preacher? I guess all that speaks to me that we better examine ourselves. We do not know just because you're preaching, just because you're a faithful member, just because you're serving God today, we don't know what tomorrow holds if we don't stay close to God. I'll be honest with you, I'm not puzzled because I got a Bible. But if I didn't have a Bible, when I read about Lot, I'd be puzzled to know that this was a saved man. But the Bible verifies that in the New Testament, and you know that. But I'm going to preach like we don't know it, all right? It's better for me to preach like that. The Bible said over in 2 Peter, you don't have to turn there, chapter 2, verse 7, "And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Now the Bible 3 times references Lot in this way. He delivered just Lot. He what? He delivered righteous Lot. He delivered righteous Lot again. The Bible said, who was a righteous soul. So according to the New Testament, which I didn't have that, you wouldn't believe it, I wouldn't believe it, that he was a saved man. Now preacher, I had to try to put that together in my mind, because I know what I preached Tuesday night. But I'm telling them fellas in the Old Testament, if you study their lives, most of them messed up bad. David messed up bad. Solomon messed up bad. Samson messed up. I mean, just Noah, we named them last night. Here's my point. They did not have the abiding Spirit of God within them. They were not possessed with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm telling you, to me, that's got something to do with why they messed up like they did. Now, maybe the preacher will correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm telling you, here's a man named Lot that the Bible said was righteous. Amen. The Bible said he was a righteous man positionally. He did not live up to his potential. And the Bible said this man was vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked. Hey, Lot tried to live for both worlds. Lot tried to live for both worlds. Listen to this now. Somebody well put this. I come across this. Amen. And the Bible admonishes us to remember those. Remember Lot's wife. The Bible admonishes us. Somebody put it this way. I thought this was good. You got to make a decision, first of all, whether it's going to be heaven or hell. Thank God I got that settled. I'm not going to hell. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Nothing is going to stop me from going to heaven. I'm saved by the grace of God. But then after you make a decision on whether it's going to be heaven or hell, you got to make a decision on whether you're going to live for heaven or the earth. Amen and amen. So after you get saved, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to live for heaven's causes or I'm going to live for earth's causes? And I'm going to tell you, that's the big battleground today, amen. No doubt about it. The devil tries to persuade us. It does not matter. But in the life of Lot, it is evident that it's a great big deal on what choice you make after you're saved. Amen and amen. Hey, Lot had to make some critical choices. And sad to say, he did not make the right choices. The life of Lot is a warning against what? Against somebody trying to live for both worlds. Amen and amen. Somebody said Lot's life is like a lighthouse. It's a warning of the danger of shipwreck in the Christian life. Amen and amen. Hey, Lot made a choice. Back in chapter 13, let's go back to our text tonight. Back in chapter 13, Lot grew up with a godly uncle. And you know, I know this was in there. I preached this just recently in the prison. You said, preacher, you go preach it in the prison. Well, y'all look like convicts. I hope you've been convicted, amen. I was convicted and I was guilty, amen. That's how I got saved, amen. But I was asked to preach to the men in prison, and God put this message on my heart. And here's what I saw really went over good in the prison. Lot had a daddy and a granddaddy, and both of them died. That's how he ended up with Abraham. And I made this point in the prison because I knew where I was preaching in the prison. Hey, he lost godly influence in his life when he was young. His daddy died a little bit later. His granddaddy died. And Lot lost the manly influence in his life. Had it not been for Abraham, he would never got saved. A godly uncle took him in. And he got saved because of his godly uncle. I'm simply saying to us tonight, Lot made some choices, amen, as a result of Abraham's faith. I believe that's how Lot got saved. Abraham was rich in cattle and silver and gold, and Lot also, because of his uncle, inherited the same thing. But listen to this. There was a dispute over that. The Bible said in chapter 13, verse number 7, look with me now, chapter 13, verse 7. Amen. The Bible said there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelling in the land. And the Bible said, Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife. So there was a dispute over their cattle. Amen. You see, I'm simply saying to us tonight, hey, first of all, maybe Lot got away from God because he let a dispute come in his life. And I'm telling you, church, I may have referenced that last night. A lot of people get out of church, amen, and get their lives messed up because there's some disagreement among the brethren. Don't let disagreements among the brethren. How many have left church because they got a dispute in church? Amen and amen. Hey, I'm telling you what, the devil sits back and laughs when we start disputing among ourselves. Amen and amen. Hey, material things had created a dispute in their life. And Lot was living for this world. Lot was living for this world. He wasn't living for heaven's cause. He was living for the earth's cause. And he let material things get in his way. And as a result of that, fell out with his uncle. Is anybody listening? Genesis chapter 13, verse 8, he said, the Bible said what? And Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, for we be brethren. Amen and amen. Isn't it a sad thing when the brethren fall out? And all the world looks at the brethren fall out in the church, and they say, if that's Christianity, we don't want it. Amen. Sometimes to get along in church, you just got to swallow your pride. Amen. You don't have to win the argument. Amen. Hey, just let God have His way. Amen and amen. So there was a dispute. There was a discussion. The Bible said Abraham, the spiritual one. Amen. He said, let's don't let there be no strife between us, Lot. Amen. We're brothers. The things that divide us is not compared with the things that unite us. Isn't it amazing we fall out over trivial things? Amen. We agree on 99% and we let 1% make us fall out. Amen and amen. He said, take your choice. Abraham was a spiritual man. Take his choice. He gave him the choice. Abraham was a spiritual man in that case. Amen. There was a decision. Lot made a choice. Look in verse 11 of chapter 13. Verse 11. And the Bible said, and Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, one for the other. Lot made a choice by what he saw. Is anybody listening? Amen. By the way, notice this. Lot made that choice, but he was not strong in his devotion. You know, I don't read where Lot had an altar. The Bible said Abraham had an altar. Abraham had an altar. Abraham, you know what the Bible said a little bit later? Don't take this wrong now. I'm just making a spiritual application. Lot always had a tent. Abraham had a house. Abraham always had a tent. Lot had a house. The Bible said they came to Lot's house. Abraham had a tent. Amen. Abraham.
Amen, amen. You know why that fella fell at the window over there in the book of Acts? Because he was too close. More had hanging out than he did hanging in. Amen. The world calls on us to do that. Come on, church. Y'all help me. Amen. Hey, he chose to go to Sodom. He was leaving the friendship and the fellowship of Abraham to yoke up with the Sodomites. Can you believe that? He would rather be around Sodomites than to be around the saints of God. Evil communication, corrupt good manners. I don't care what you say. Church, I'm telling you, I fight that. Even this week
in my church, I got a picture. Somebody sent me, I don't have a social media and all that, but somebody sent a picture. Somehow, I don't even know why I got it.
And it showed two ladies in my church. And I know one of those ladies in my church. And I don't care if they get this on YouTube or whatever we got back there. BQ, ZQ. Whatever that is to you back there. And I'll tell you what, the one she's embracing is already in the move to go through the world. And the one that she's got her arm around is a godly girl in our church. Amen. And I'm telling you what now, evil communication, and I'm going back home, and I'm going to preach now, evil communication, corrupt good man. You hang around both the heads of the world, you're going to say,
that's right.
You better separate from that. Amen. Preaching, what gives you the right to come in that pulpit and preach like that? The Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, this world is out to get us out of the things of God. You got to separate from that. Amen. Amen. You know, our church and your church would be big if we didn't preach this way. It would. The singing y'all got. The choir y'all got, Brother Allen, the singing. I was going to say something, though. Would you come up and sing, sister? Here she comes. Would you come up and sing, sister? Here she comes. Would you come up, the group come up and sing? Here they come. I thought, dear God, everybody in the church is going to sing. You try to get my wife to sing. Here, come on. I'm telling you, if we didn't preach this way, our church would be full. I ain't excusing my laziness. I'm not excusing my lack of a burden and an evangelist. Yeah, but I'm telling you, people don't want to have this kind of preaching. This is the right thing. Yeah. I'd rather have a prayer like this and not end on some than to have a prayer that is some.
Yeah.
You see the end of the story. You know the end of the story. Y'all heard enough preaching. You see the end of the story. You go wish you would have stayed in a Bible preaching church.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there is no limit how far you go once you leave sound preaching. Amen and amen. Amen. Hey, Lot's made some critical choices. Now Lot's in chains. Look with me, chapter 14. The Bible said in verse 12, and they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods, and departed. They had war. Amen. I can't, that fellow's name, Chetta Lamar, he came down there and whipped up on the Sodomites, amen. Lot's living in Sodom, took his children, amen, and departed. And Abraham got word of it. Now, Abraham's a Jew. Amen. Abraham got his little ragtime band together. Somebody help me. And Abraham went over there. Amen. How many of it was it? Amen. I thought that I wrote that in my Bible. And Abraham heard his brother was taken captive. He trained his servants, born in his own house. 318 men. He took 318. And that don't sound like a bunch of Jews. He took 318 men and went over there and whipped up on that big crowd. It didn't take a crowd of them Jews. Amen. I mean, that's the same way today. Hey, just a little ragtime band. Beat the devil out of him, got Lot, got his children, got all his goods, and brought him back.
Amen.
First time he delivered, he's delivered with a sword. Next time he delivered, he's delivered with supplication. Are y'all listening? Amen. Lot would have stayed bound if Abraham hadn't delivered him. I don't know how much I told the pastor, but we had a man in our church. Came in our home, maybe I mentioned that the other night, I don't know. I had a man come to our home, and I know I've told that here before, and he was living on the brick, and he comes to our home, and he makes a tree. He gave our home $43,000. That man gave the man who lived under the bridge, after he got saved, he gave us $43,000 to help build a home. You know where he is today? He called us about 4 weeks ago. He's in jail.
Hey, would you come sit down in the jail? Would the police come sit? Please come sit. And so I went down to the jail sitting. He said, put that, I gotta get out of here. He's living with a woman, amen, and she's expecting me. And then about that. He said, I gotta get out of jail because they will keep her out of the house and she has nowhere to go. I said, what do you want, Rob? What do you want? He said, don't pay for fun. But don't get out of jail with it. I said, how much is it? He said, $1,350. I said, good God. I said, okay. He wants us to give him out of jail. I said, well, Dad, would you listen to him? That man gave us $42,000. And here's what he said, Preacher, when we get out of jail, man, when I get out of jail, I said, where are you going to church? He said, I'm going to your church. I said, you living with that woman? He said, well, we don't get mad. I said, if I get you out of jail, you ain't going to her house. Then I got a story to tell. Can I still tell a story?
Yes.
I said, if I get you out of jail, you're not going to our house. Y'all got to get mad. Now, are you going to do that? Yes, preacher, I'm not going there. We're not going into sin. I've got right to God since I've been in jail. I said, you sure you got right to God? He said, I'm fasting today. I said, oh, Lord, you're a mad. We paid $1,350 for another day. And I think everybody's having a good church. You know what that way Abraham did for Lot? He got him out of Sodom. You know what Lot did? He went back to Sodom.
Yes.
I would say Abraham was a forgiven man.
Yes.
He was a fighting man. The Bible said he went there and went up on him to fight. He was a forgiven man. He was a man of faith. I didn't feel so bad after I read this. I've already read that one the other day. Anybody listen?
Hey, he showed him, hey, I said, this man, Brother Jeff, this man gave us $43,000. Here's what I'm saying to us. We don't owe him nothing. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm for getting him out of jail the first time. If he messes up this time, it's over, big boy. Anybody listening? I figure $1,300 from $43,000, I figure we're still about $41,000 ahead. Somebody help me right there. I can't add too good, but I figure we can't lose too much. But when we get him out and he don't do what he said, don't call me no more. He's going to need somebody to go to court with him. Because I done been in the courtroom with him. And the judge said, read his record. And I'm telling you, preacher, this is the honest truth before the Lord. They read his record. I'm telling you, preacher, it was that long. And the judge said, well, Mr. Miles, what do you want us to do? He said, well, I'm in a home. And the home said, they'll help me. This is before he got in jail last time. And the judge said, who are you, sir? I said, I'm the pastor. And we have a home. She said, would you make a few comments? I said, yes, ma'am. I told the story about him getting saved, and I told all that. She said, Mr. Miles, here's what I'm going to do. Because you're in that home, and that preacher's there with you today, I'm going to let you go. And he walked out of that courtroom. We walked back in the foyer, and the lawyer, there's a black lawyer. He had a black lawyer, Mr. Buford. And that lawyer turned around and looked up, and his eyeballs were that big around. I said, what is wrong with you? He said, preacher, you only heard half of the rap sheet. The other half was more than that, and they let him go with you. And that black lawyer said, I ain't believing that. And you know what he did? He left that and got in trouble. Now you go back to him. He's a fruitman. Here's what he's going to end up. He's going to end up just like Bobby. Are you listening? None of us are the Lord. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, sometimes I'm afraid, even in my own church, we get too settled.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, we get too settled. Lot got too settled down in this world. Amen and amen. He got too settled down. Abraham lived a separated life. Lot did not. You know why? He didn't have an altar. Separation is not isolation. Separation is like insulation. A separated believer is like a live wire. Insulated to its surroundings. In touch with the needle on one end and hooked up to the power on the other end. Glory to God. Lot had changed. Lot had a chance. He was rescued by Abraham, but it did not help him. He went right back to where he come from. While Abraham's refusing to offer the Sodom of Sodom, amen, hey, Lot is rejoicing with the Sodomites. Look in chapter 19. I'm about through. Look in chapter 19, verse number 1. And the Bible said there came two angels of Sodom and Eden. Do you know when they went to Abraham's house, there was three of them? When those angels went to visit Abraham's house, there was three of them. But when they went to go to Lot's house, it wasn't but two of them. I think the other one was Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody help me.
Yeah.
And there came two angels. Jesus wasn't going down to Sodom. Praise God. And there came two angels of Sodom and Eden, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the ground. Listen to me now. Listen to me. And the Bible said what? And he said, behold, now my Lord's turning, I pray you, into your servant's house. See, he had a house. And tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him, and then into the house, and he made a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Here's my simple point tonight. Hey, mark the progression of Lot going away from God. First of all, in chapter 13, he looked towards Sodom. Second of all, chapter 13, he pitched towards Sodom. Third of all, he dwelled in Sodom. Now, chapter 19, he's sitting at the gate of Sodom. That's how sin gets us. I'm telling you what I believe.
Well, my lip won't hurt nobody.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know why we're fighting what we're fighting with, like we've never fought before? The media.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it won't feel for you holding your hand.
That's right.
I'm telling you, one little, no one out of your people is over.
Amen.
And here's what I see. I preach on the preacher. You parents, give your children 10 years old a telephone.
Yeah.
You're committing suicide.
Yeah.
I got one boy in my church, I'm telling you. And they may be watching tonight. It ain't because they ain't heard it before. I'll tell you what, he's that thing fascinates him. He can't get his eyes out of it. Are you listening?
Yeah.
You know what I told my brother and dad? I told my brother and dad, I can't even reach him with the gospel. He is so engrossed. We have prayed. Ask my wife. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I feel like I can't even reach him. I mean, we've had churches where the power of God comes down. And here we look at him. He is so engrossed. And we can put that in the hands of God.
Yeah,
man, you're sitting in hell. I know this is God.
Yeah,
I tell you, I don't want your children to end up inside. What happened, Lot? Are you listening to me? He looked towards Sodom. Brother Rain said he got a tent deed. His flat, when he opened his flat, he was looking towards Sodom out of his tent. He got a TV, tent view of Sodom. He pitched towards Sodom. He dwelled in Sodom. Now he's sitting in Sodom. And everybody I read after said that was a place of position. He's now in a place of position in Sodom. Now you think he's going to tell the Sodomites what to do? No, they're going to tell him what to do. Amen. I hope I ain't boring y'all. Are you listening to me? What happened to Lot? He got a viewpoint of Sodom. Now he's in the vices of Sodom. Chapter 19, Lot loses his sensibility. Notice verse 7. Y'all have read all. Y'all have preached all this. Look in verse 7. And he said, I pray unto you, brethren, do not. He called them Sodomites, brethren. Preacher, I'm telling you, the religious world is going crazy.
It's not all that bad.
Rick Warren and all that crap. I'm telling you what, they're now this shirt open. And the man was a song maker when I was growing up. They got us hiding there. They used to hide.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm telling you, things are turning around. We are in the minority.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Hey, he what? He lost his sensibility. He called them brethren. He lost his sensitivity. He offered his daughters to them. He said, brother, do not so wicked. I have a daughter here. Wait a minute now. And I studied that out. Here's what they said, the bishop of that day would come to your house. You was responsible for the company. Nothing was to happen to the company. That's what I studied. Amen. It was a tradition. You took care. Not over my children. I don't care what the tradition is. Bob tradition, you're not having my children. Can you imagine a man offering his children to the Sodomites?
I'm reading you the Bible. And the New Testament said that he was righteous. Notice his standing. Verse 14. Look in verse 14 of chapter 19. Here's what the Bible said. And Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto them. Hey, he lost his stand. He didn't have no testimony with his family. Amen and amen. They mocked his message. The Bible said they mocked his message. And as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws, they said, Daddy-in-law, you telling us what to do? Notice this. He lost his standing. He lost his stuff. Look at verse 24. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And the Bible says he overthrew all those cities and all those plains and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. Everything he took down to Sodom he lost. Matter of fact, that's why he went. He said this would be a good place for cattle. He was more concerned about his cattle than he was his children. Well, do we hear, preacher, don't we hear this all the time? Well, I'm going to take my kids over here to this church because they have more than they can.
Yes, sir.
They have more ball games. They have more. I had to get Sammy free to make statements like this. Nobody would have listened to this because I got all the sad in it. Now I'm making the same for the mother. I know. You got to listen. I'm sad. Well, I'm going to take my kids down here because they got more than they got. More things to do.
Yeah.
It's bigger than they can offer more to the church. You don't need no more off your children than the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's the power. It's the power of the gospel. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians, the Bible talks about the power of God's word. Preaching God's word. There's preaching without power.
Amen.
You get some churches, you can say, well, they preach Jesus, but it has no power in it.
Right.
We need to take it where there's power. It's power in preaching, amen.
Right.
He lost his sons-in-law. He lost his stuff. Amen. That's what he went for. He lost his serenity. The Bible said in verse number 30 of that same chapter, the Bible said, Lot went to Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. He feared. He lost his secure serenity. I'm telling you what, if you're saved living out of the will of God, you don't have no serenity. If you do, and you're living out of the will of God, it's a false peace. God don't give peace to people living out of the will of God. Hey, man. Notice this. He lost his sense. I'm not even going to deal with that. I'm almost too embarrassed to deal with that. They got their daddy drunk. Wait a minute now.
Are we still in the Bible?
Yes, sir.
The Bible said he was saved. Do I have to go any further? They got their own daddy drunk.
That boy, my church, that he's been there, he was dead. Are y'all listening to me?
Well, he was so messed up in his mind because of that wicked, wicked, wicked sin. He was so messed up in his mind that we had families in our church that took him in and tried to help him. We sent him to home after home after home after home. We probably had him 4 or 5 different boys from him. You couldn't get him through that. He was so warped up in his mind from what happened to his life to bring him into this world. You couldn't get him. You couldn't get him straight. Yeah, we think we can play with sin.
Yeah.
I'm telling church today to play with sin. Is so, I sat over there in a little restaurant and there wasn't anybody stopped by. I just got a little drink. And I sat in that restaurant today and I watched that crowd come in. And I'm telling the church, it's fearful.
Yes, yes, sir.
Amen.
You can say what you want. And I know they're lost and I take that into consideration and I was once there. I say amen. I ain't mad at them. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But I'm telling you, they had things stuck in their faces. They had tattoos where you couldn't even see the arms. I'm telling you, I mean, they had hair out here like that. I'm telling you, they look like they come out of some wild man's cave. That's what we're dealing with today. That's where Solomon is.
Yes.
And we will turn our children over there.
Yeah.
God, I'm going to die preaching for you
today. Yeah.
If I miss out here before, I'm going to die preaching for you. And I'm telling our church, go ahead, turn. Turn them over there.
That's right.
Yeah,
amen and amen. Dear God, I know we probably come for some glory, but I can't help it.
I'm trying to tell you, hey, look at Lot, look at Lot. Man, he made some critical choices. His children. We're living in a sin-sick, sin-soaked, sodomite society. It's so bad, even with all our presidents doing, he ain't tackling that one. It's so entrenched in our society that ain't nobody can do nothing about it. Are you listening? Had a boy in our job, had a boy in our church the other day. He said, pray for me in the prayer room a couple weeks ago. He said, pray for me. He said, lady, boy, I just get up on my job. I went to the top of the company. Said, the lady's on my job. Said, she's a head woman on the job. She's a lesbian. And she said, we're going to have a gay party. And everybody has to appear. If you work in this office, you have to attend the party. And we're going to have a gay party at the office. And everybody has to attend. And that hadn't come to pass yet. I don't know when the party's supposed to be. And he said, y'all need to pray for me, because the moment I tell him I'm not coming, I don't know what you're going to do. That's where we are. You said that path will never take off. It can't get off. And don't think he can't help. I've had him come sit in my church. Is anybody listening? I had one come sit in my church. I mean, she looked like a man. She had on jeans. She had on a blazer, blue blazer. She had on a blue shirt under that. She had a haircut like a man. Amen. And at our church, we had handshaking time. And we go around and shake a hand. And I had a jolly lady in the church. And the jolly lady in the church would go, oh, we're so glad to have you, sir. So glad to have you today. And she come back over to me. She said, Brother Willis, I welcome my visitors. And I told him that he was welcome. I said, Miss Catherine, that is not a man. She said, what? I said, that's a woman. She said, oh, my Lord. Anybody listen? That's where we are. Yeah, I'm telling you. I ain't telling y'all nothing y'all don't know. I wouldn't want to try to tell you nothing y'all don't know. It's open today. In that day, it was normal at that time. They run the city. It was endorsed by the laws of the land. Lot was hired to help enforce it. Because he was sitting in a key position. Could I tell you where I grew up in a little country town called Cottageville? There was a boy in Cottageville that grew up with me. He is now the mayor of North Charleston. Let me tell you what he suggested. Let's have a big gay party. A country boy that grew up with me is the mayor of Charleston. And he said, we're going to have a gay pride parade in Charleston. And we're going to promote it. You ever been to one of them guys? Don't go. We used to have it in Columbia. They had it in Columbia. We would go every day and stand there and protest it. Don't go.
Yeah, that's right.
You would not, unless you did. I didn't even know what I was getting. It was unbelievable. It was so filthy. It was so filthy. I wouldn't even took my life to it. That's where we are. That's where Lot sit. Anybody listening? Preach it, dear God. We're trying to have revival. You depressing us. I can't help it, church. This is where we're living. That is the society we're living in. Amen. If you live for the world will come to your house. The Bible said they're knocking on his door. Lot's living with them. They come knocking on Lot's door. Is anybody listening? I'm through. Well, what about him preaching? What about that? Well, he traded his children for his cattle. He traded his children for his career. He traded his children for tradition over truth. Are y'all listening? He's a warning to us. You get the viewpoint of Sodom, and it's pumped in our face every day. I quit. Here's my point. Hey, he lived a life that ended up with liquor and lust. A saved man, according to the New Testament, his life ended with liquor and lust. What a sad commentary. Can you imagine when Lot woke up? Here's what I'm saying. Don't wake up too late. I read this preacher. I got the statistics for the home. If we as dads would function as a father, our children would be 5 times less likely to commit suicide. If we would function as a godly dad, we would be our children would be 5 times less likely to commit suicide, 32 times less likely to run away, 20 times less likely to have behavior disorders, 14 times less likely to commit rape, 9 times less likely to drop out of school, 10 times less likely to be a drug abuse, amen? And we would be what? We would be 9 times less likely to end up in prison. We better live like there is a God.
Yes, sir.
Amen and amen. One man said his dad taught him many things. My dad taught me about religion. He said, you better pray the stain comes off that carpet. He taught me about travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the next world. He taught me about logic. And I can equate with this. My daddy was a town drunk. That's the honest to God truth. But I'm going to tell you what my daddy said. My daddy said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the next world. My daddy had logic. Because I said so, that's why you do it. Does anybody grow up like that? He taught me about the circle of life. I brought you in this world, I can take you out. He taught me about the weather. He said, your room looks like a tornado. You know why we used to have some character in this country? A lot of mean men that wasn't even saved. The preacher, I remember as a young boy, the preacher told me about how my daddy was a town drunk, and here's what my daddy said. The preacher's at the door, Dad. The preacher's out the door. Get my shirt.
Yeah, I feel
it. Amen. He said, get my shirt. The preacher said, get my shirt. The town drunk, when the preacher showed up, said, get my shirt. The preacher's here.
Yeah, I feel it.
Is anybody getting that?
Yes, sir.
Now they parade even at church if you let them.
Yeah.
That's right. Lot lost a lot. Amen. He made some critical choices, but he made the wrong choices. We better learn to make the right choices. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, honor your word. That's all I'm going to pray. God, when I think about Lot and I think about, Lord, our lives, and I think about what I've seen come through our home, men that have positions, men that preach, men that pastor. Lord Jesus, God, none of us are exempt. Help us to stay close to you. Help us to have an altar. Lord, I believe that's where he failed. He messed up that he didn't have an altar. Lord, I pray now, God, you'd help us tonight. Touch this service, touch this invitation. And Lord, meet needs tonight is our prayer. Thank you for your goodness and mercy and all that you do for us. Thank you, God. Lord, that you've sustained us for 45 years. I pray to God, Lord, you'd keep us in the narrow way till Jesus comes or we come to meet you. Help us now, I pray. Help your people respond as you speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You obey the Lord tonight while we sing. Amen.